Welcome to All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich. Julia Roberts is back in theaters this weekend playing the Evil Queen in a unique adaptation of Snow White. And Sam Worthington and Liam Neeson are in the action-adventure sequel Wrath of the Titans. But can either of those films take the top spot at the box office away from The Hunger Games? Probably not. But with some thoughts on what's in the movie theaters this weekend and to help you decide what's worth your time, we have a panel of movie critics. Hope Madden is the film critic for The Other Paper. Welcome, Hope.
Thanks for having me.
And also Melissa Starker is a freelance film critic. Welcome, Melissa.
Thank you.
And The Hunger Games debuted last weekend to a record-breaking $152.5 million, a big weekend for them. In this scene, Jennifer Lawrence, who plays Katniss, meets Cinna, played by Lenny Kravitz, who is the stylist for Katniss's district, and they discuss her debut.
I'm sorry that this happened to you. I'm here to help you in any way that I can.
Most people just congratulate me.
Well, I don't see the point in that. So tonight, they have the tribute parade. I'm gonna take you out and show you off to the world.
So you're here to make me look pretty?
I'm here to help you make an impression. Now, usually they dress people in the clothes from their district.
Yeah, we're always coal miners.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that. I want to do something that they're gonna remember. Did they explain about trying to get sponsors?
Yeah, but I'm not very good at making friends.
We'll see.
So an interesting choice there with Lenny Kravitz. That surprised me. So how is The Hunger Games?
It was really good. It was maybe I thought a little too faithful to the book. Probably could have been pruned a little bit. But the cast was great. Jennifer Lawrence was great, as she usually is. And it's, it keeps you riveted. You're paying attention. It's kind of subversive in an interesting way.
Melissa, what did you think?
I liked it. I definitely thought in terms of the teenage girl audience that it's a better film than the Twilight films, and it offers a more substantial heroine. Jennifer Lawrence, like Hope said, is tremendous in the film. She really holds it together. I guess the problem that I had with it is that it sort of skewers the whole reality TV thing, and it also brings up this political intrigue, and as it skewers like the ways that reality TV builds character and creates tension, it uses a lot of those same things, like little points for characters as opposed to developing them fully and repeating information or imagery or dragging things out a little bit longer as filler. I definitely felt like it could have been a good 20 to 30 minutes shorter. It's a nearly 2.5 hour film. But that said, it does look great. It does have a terrific cast. The supporting cast is really good, aside from Lenny Kravitz, who it's really good casting. You've got Woody Harrelson and Elizabeth Banks and Stanley Tucci. They were all really good as well.
So, but wait, Lenny Kravitz is not, you don't think he did a good job?
No, or? I do think he did a good job. I think it was just, he doesn't do a lot of film work. And
right.
So it was really nice to see him in this part. And he is, he's sort of the sympathetic voice for these people, for these teenagers that are basically stuck in an awful situation.
Listeners, if you have an opinion about The Hunger Games, maybe you're going to go see it for a second time this weekend, 614-292-8513. We will be talking about some other movies, but we can always come back to The Hunger Games since that's the popular one right now. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So do you think everyone saw it last weekend, or do you think we're going to have people going back to see it a second time? Hope.
I do think that there are people who missed it. You know, a lot of people just don't go on opening weekends because the crowds, especially in a movie like this, the crowds are so, it's sold out. It's hard to get into. And I think you're going to get a lot more just adults who go this weekend as opposed to the teenage girls who camped out to get in. I think back to when Titanic came out as a 3-hour movie and not really a very good one. And teenage girls went to see that movie like 5 times, which I wouldn't have guessed anybody would sit through a 3-hour movie 5 times. So I think if they have the stamina for that, I think definitely they're going to be return customers to this one.
And there were a lot of people dressing up for The Hunger Games, too. It was sort of like a little bit of a Harry Potter thing going on as well.
Definitely.
Right? The Hunger Games is in the top spot. You think it'll just stay there?
I think that's a good likelihood. I mean, I know someone who saw it twice in the first weekend, actually. and the word of mouth has been pretty strong on it.
Now, there's going to be 2 more movies, right?
Presumably.
Yeah. Is there a nice setup for the second movie? Can you see it coming?
Oh, it definitely ends on a not so much a cliffhanger as a to be continued kind of note. So,
right.
Yeah. Oh, sure. They have the love interest thing to work out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then, yeah, there's the Hunger Games every year. So we've
right.
got next year's event as well. So, oh, yeah, it's definitely set up for it.
And Jennifer Lawrence, good for the role.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, it's funny because the, you know, the side characters are so flamboyant, and they need to be because they're sort of these big, broad, entertaining sort of characters, given the situation that they're in. Jennifer Lawrence is she's sort of grizzly. She's sort of, you know, she's not a flamboyant character. Her performance is not at all. And she just balances everything out so well. She really carries the film. And it's a great performance because in a lot of ways, the character is not that much different. She's not in that much different situation as Jennifer Lawrence's Oscar-nominated turn for Winter's Bone.
Right.
But you never think of that when you're watching it. She's really crafted a completely different character. I just think she's an outstanding actor.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich, and we're talking about movies, what's out in the theaters now. We have freelance film critic Melissa Starker and the other paper film critic Hope Madden, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can also put a post on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. And we have Shannon in Plain City. Shannon, what's your opinion of The Hunger Games?
I loved it. I saw the movie this weekend, and I read the first book. One thing that I was kind of curious about, I've heard a lot of comments and seen on the, you know, in magazine articles and things about the whole reality TV thing. And I guess I didn't really take that away from the book. From what I took away, it was the theme of just, you know, a futuristic society where there's this one, you know, section of people that is, you know, kind of keeping everybody else down in the pit. And, you know, the people are forced to watch in all of the districts, but they don't enjoy it. It's horrible. I mean, I guess there are the people in the main Pan Am area that kind of see it as this, but it's more of like a gruesome gladiator type thing to me than it was more of a hit on, you know, reality television. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. What do we think? Reality TV gone wrong? Or?
Well, I think she brings up actually a lot of good points. And I think that some of the things that she's talking about, they're definitely leaving room to explore in the second and third film, because the political side of it, you get some of that, that there's it's sort of a 99% situation. Mm-hmm. That there are certain districts that are poorer than others, and that they're under this totalitarian rule. But yeah, that's definitely something I think they can do more with.
I think, though, it's hard, particularly in the film itself, I think it's hard to not notice a connection to our current reality television. Like all of the competitors, you know, aside from the couple that you get to know really closely, they're very one-dimensional in the way that in reality shows, you don't really get to know the human beings that are on there. You get sort of a very broad stroke character every time. And also, as they go through the events, the more popular ones get little, you know, they get medicine, they get food, they get stuff that's flown into them where they are, which is very similar to just like being voted off of a show or being voted onto a show. I mean, I think that there really are a lot of parallels drawn to our current fixation with reality TV show.
I would say the one other thing is that obviously in this case, the reality TV show involves people getting killed. Mm-hmm. And they definitely, I mean, it's very stylish, but they do kind of gloss over some of the gorier details.
Yeah, I think I expected it to be a little bit more troubling than it was.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a Running Man quality about it. I don't know if anybody remembers that old Schwarzenegger movie, but it's, you know, it's kind of a similar thing. But, you know, 10-year-old children are slaughtered. So I expected it to be a little bit more visceral of a response than it was. You know, that's pretty horrific. It's probably the most horrific possible thing to cover. And they don't do it in a way that it's sort of, there are pros and cons. They do it in a way that makes it easier to watch and enjoy the film. On the other hand, I think it should have had a more powerful impact than it did.
Right. It's like, it's kind of troubling how not troubling it is.
Right.
Thank you, Shannon, for that call.
Sure. Thank you.
And we have Sue from Columbus. Sue, what's your question or comment about Hunger Games?
I just wanted to comment on the demographic from when I saw the movie. I took my daughter to the opening, and there were quite a few teenage boys there as well, and I keep hearing how it's more geared toward teenage girls. And then when I went and saw it over the weekend, there were a fair number of adults as well as men and boys in the audience. I just wanted to comment to that.
All right. Thank you very much.
No, I think she's right. I think it's getting a lot of comparisons to Twilight, I think, because a lot of adults really, like Melissa said earlier, we really want teenage girls to like this series better, which I think is the reason for the focus on teenage girls. You know, I know a lot of adult men. My brother-in-law loves this series. I know it's because it does. It gives some balance to a lot of different characters. The writing is very interesting, and the action is not mooning over a potential boyfriend. I mean, you know, it's a life or death sort of action novel series. So I think there is an appeal to a very broad audience. But I think the reason that people keep going back to it is just sort of like, we want girls to like these books.
All right. So that's The Hunger Games. So we do have two movies coming out this weekend that are hoping to create some buzz the way The Hunger Games has. One of them is Mirror Mirror, and the Queen, played by Julia Roberts, in this scene is talking about Snow White with Prince Alcott.
I do have one question about the evening. Mm-hmm. There was a girl there. She had black hair. It was very beautiful.
Beautiful.
I think she's the most beautiful woman in the whole world.
Agreed to disagree. Let's leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. But do you know her? Ivory skin, black hair.
Her hair is not black. It's raven. And she's 18 years old and her skin has never seen the sun. So, of course, it's good.
All right, so Julia Roberts playing the bad guy. Melissa, what did you think of this movie?
Well, it's an interesting one.
Oh, no.
it's directed by Tarsem Singh, who is a filmmaker who's known for making really intense movies that are incredibly gorgeous. And the incredibly gorgeous part is still in there. It's a really beautifully made film, incredible production design. The costumes are just to die for. But in the story, they seem to be going for something like a Princess Bride thing, where it's a little bit of self-referential fairy tale narrative, and there's also a camp factor to it. And so it's a little bit fun, but at the same time, the screenwriter who's fairly untested on this is no William Goldman, who was the screenwriter for Princess Bride, you know, basically considered an expert in the craft. And so I as gorgeous as it was, and also there's some really good casting in it. Nathan Lane is in it as well. Armie Hammer plays the Prince Charming type from J. Edgar and Social Network. I just kind of wanted it to be better than it was and more engaging than it was. But at least there's lots of good things to look at.
So they changed the story of Snow White in it.
It sticks to the basic touchstones. Basically, yes, Julia Roberts is the evil queen who dispatches with the king and basically, you know, locks Snow White away for all of her adolescence. And at 18, she starts getting a little more gumption and decides to start trying to get a sense of what's really out there in the kingdom. Finds out that everything that she remembered about, you know, the kingdom that her father ruled is memory, and it's all just a horrible place to live, and everybody has been taxed to death paying for the queen's lavish lifestyle, and Armie Hammer shows up at just the right time to try and help her along, as well as seven dwarves.
Is Julia Roberts good in this? Is this the right role for her?
She's having a lot of fun in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely, I think it's a good part for her. And obviously, it's something a little unusual, although there are two Snow White movies this year. So,
right.
Yeah.
And Hope, you did not see Mirror Mirror, is that right?
I did not.
Is this something you're intrigued by? You might see it eventually? Are you okay with?
Probably not.
Probably. Okay.
Probably will not.
So for someone who, Snow White was my favorite Disney princess because just solely based upon the fact that I have black hair and she had black hair, right? Isn't that what little girls pick as their favorite princess based on that? Will I like this movie? Is it too different?
You've got a little bit of a Lily Collins thing who plays Snow White in the film. You know, it's just like a nice, light, no-brainer entertainment if you're looking for, you know, some nice eye candy and something that doesn't require too much thought. I think it's a good one.
Okay, and one last question. The dwarves, they're not like the dwarves. Like, it's different. The dwarves are like
they teach her how to be a warrior.
Right. Basically, they're bandits. They're bandits on stilts. It's pretty that those parts are actually kind of awesome. And they take her in after she's been cast out of the palace and supposedly killed, as in the traditional fairy tale. But yeah, they and there's actually a couple of familiar faces in there. One of the guys from the reality TV show Pit Boss.
Okay.
He's one of the dwarves. They're a lot of fun.
So are they the same like names or
no?
Okay.
There's no Dopey and Sleepy and
right. Okay, yeah. That's what I was wondering, because they didn't look like Dopey, Sleepy, and Happy and Doc and all, you know.
Mm-hmm. But having said all that, I have to say they also showed the trailer before the movie for Snow White and the Huntsman, which is the drama with Kristen Stewart and Charlize Theron that's going to be opening in a couple of months. That actually looks pretty good, too.
Okay. So another Snow White movie still coming this summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich. More about the summer movie season in just a moment. This is 89.7 NPR News.
After months of hype and anticipation, it was finally here. The Obamacare Festival at the Supreme Court, a Lollapalooza for lawyers, a Coachella for court reporters. 3 days of peace and arguments. I'm Peter Sagal. Justice Gravy warns everyone to stay away from the brown acid. On this week's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz.
Saturday morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Information about how Montgomery & Associates can help you achieve your financial goals is at themontgomerysolution.com.
Receive daily updates from WOSU by liking our station on Facebook or by following WOSU News on Twitter. Another way to connect with us is by subscribing to our daily News Loop e-newsletter. Visit wosu.org/email to sign up.
This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News. And today we're talking about movies. We have freelance film critic Melissa Starker and the other paper film critic Hope Madden in the studio. What's in theaters now? What's coming soon? And what's out on DVD that you should put into your movie queue? Movie questions or to join the conversation, 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. And we were just talking about The Hunger Games, and we talked about Mirror Mirror, that is going to be opening this weekend, starring Julia Roberts. The other big movie opening this weekend is Wrath of the Titans, and it's a sequel to, is it Clash of the Titans,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay.
Yep.
We're very creative with the names here. Okay. And in this scene, the humans have stopped praying to the gods, and without prayer, the gods lose their power, which threatens the world. And in this scene, Perseus, played by Sam Worthington, is talking to his father Zeus, and Zeus needs his help.
If our power diminishes much further, we gods will become mortal. We will die, and Cronus himself will escape. It will mean chaos. The end of the world.
What am I meant to do?
I know your heart better than you know it yourself. You believe your human half makes you unworthy to join us. You will learn someday that being half human makes you stronger than a god, not weaker.
All right, so I watched the trailer for this movie, and basically I had no idea what was going on, but that's okay, right? Because that's the point of these movies, right? Hope, what did you think?
I did not care for it. I thought it was I expected it actually to be a little better than Clash of the Titans, and I think to a certain degree it was. Clash of the Titans, though, it was a huge movie. I did not realize how much money it made. It was one of those films that was converted to 3D after it was filmed because the 3D fever, and it and it was very muddy to watch. You really couldn't tell what was going on, especially in the big action sequences. So I was expecting something better this time around, maybe more well-articulated monsters. Not really. No,
this is in 3D as well, right?
It is in 3D as well, yeah. And it's you know, it's really just a couple of hours of guys in dresses standing in front of a green screen and complaining about their dads. Is more or less what happens. Just generation after generation of guys wishing they had better dads and then fighting a Cyclops and then complaining about their dads. It's really, as far as I can tell, more or less all that happened.
Wow. Okay. So, and the LA Times called it a lifeless sequel.
I think that that's accurate. I mean, I think that there were several sort of, you know, potentially good performances. Liam Neeson is always good. You know, Ralph Fiennes is kind of fun. I'm not a big Sam Worthington fan, but, you know, given the circumstances, he did what he could. And Bill Nighy has a fun sort of comic relief. But, if there's nothing to look at in a movie like this, then you have to focus on what? The performances and the dialogue? That's just a bad decision.
Oh, no. Okay. So if someone wanted to go to the movies this weekend and their choices were Mirror Mirror, Wrath of the Titans, and Hunger Games, should we see Hunger Games a second time?
I think so.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, so there you have it for this weekend. There are other movies out in the theaters, though, and 21 Jump Street, that came out last week?
It was like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
But it's still very popular.
Okay, so 21 Jump Street, if you're looking for something a little more funny, right?
Yeah.
In this scene, Schmidt, played by Jonah Hill, and Janko, played by Channing Tatum, are in trouble with their boss, and they're being reassigned.
Do you even know the Miranda rights?
Yes.
Let's hear him then.
It obviously starts with you have the right to remain silent. I know you've heard this before. And then I think it sounds something like, you have the right to remain an attorney.
Did you say that you have the right to be an attorney?
You do have the right to be an attorney if you want to.
We're reviving a canceled undercover police program from the 80s and revamping it for modern times. One of these programs involves the use of young, immature-seeming officers. I think you idiots are perfect. You're officially transferred.
Well, where should we report?
21 Jump Street.
Very important plot point there.
Yes.
So, 21 Jump Street, Hope. You like this?
I did, actually, and I didn't expect to. I was really pleasantly surprised by it. And it's funny that, you know, we talk about a Sam Worthington and a Channing Tatum back-to-back. It's Melissa and I have talked about this before. I can never tell the two of them apart. I'm not sure why that is. But I just, and the longer they go on, I know that Sam Worthington gets kind of the more prime roles, but Channing Tatum is better. He's funny and he should stick to funny movies. He's easily as funny in this film as Jonah Hill, who's of course funny.
Oscar nominee Jonah Hill.
That's right.
Right,
I'm sorry. And actually I think that for me, the biggest downside is if I just kept wishing that it was like McLovin. And like I wanted Jonah Hill in high school. I wanted the super bad guys to go back and infiltrate the high school. But that's just my own dream movie. I thought this one was very funny. And there's a pretty funny Johnny Depp cameo. And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by this film.
All right. And that's still in some theaters. So maybe that would be a nice option for something fun. Melissa, did you see 21 Jump Street?
I have not seen it yet, but it's actually at the top of my list for what's next. I agree. Channing Tatum. Funny guy, very beefy and very good looking, but also quite entertaining.
All right. And so just for people who don't know, they go back to high school as cops.
That's right. Yeah. It's an entire set of really. And one of the funny things that happens in the movie, Channing Tatum does not look like a high school student in any way. And one of the high school students calls him on that. Like, and you look like you're about 40. But yeah, they infiltrate high schools as students and try to, in this case, weed out a drug ring.
Okay. So 21 Jump Street is out right now. And listeners, if you have any questions about movies in the theaters now, or also we're going to be previewing some movies coming in the summer movie season, which, believe it or not, is right around the corner, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org, or you can post your thoughts on the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page, 614-292-8513. Another movie that's still in theaters is Jeff Who Lives at Home. That is starring Jason Segel.
Yep, stars Jason Segel, Ed Helms, and it's
It's a new movie by the Duplass brothers, Jay and Mark Duplass, which if you know, if you're into indie films at all, they most recently made Cyrus, which was a film with Oscar nominee Jonah Hill and John C. Reilly. And what's really kind of interesting about these guys is that they will take situations that you would see in normal mainstream Hollywood movies, but then they'll tweak it a little bit, and so that it's just kind of beautifully uncomfortable in places and much more heartfelt and real. So, like, for example, with Cyrus, it was a woman, a man dating a woman whose 21-year-old son refuses to leave the house. And with Jeff, Who Lives at Home, it's basically a sibling rivalry movie. But Jeff, who's played by Jason Segel, does live at home. He's a 30-year-old who basically never leaves the basement, and he's forced to leave the house when his mother basically says, buy some wood glue. Get out of the house and buy me some wood glue for this thing that I need. And chaos and hilarity ensue pretty much from there.
Okay, so it seems like you like this movie.
I did. I mean, it's again, not a lot of it. There's no explosions. There's, nothing ridiculously silly about it.
So but, Jason Segel in a bathrobe.
Jason Segel in, basically in a pair of cargo shorts and a T-shirt. And Ed Helms playing a bad guy, which is kind of interesting. You don't really see that too much. It was just kind of sweet and surprisingly touching. And yes, definitely moments in it where you go, okay, well, I've never been in that particular situation, but I know exactly how that character feels. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I liked it a lot.
Did you see Jeff?
No, I haven't actually, but it is at the top of my list because I'm a huge fan of Cyrus. I love the cast for this film, and I'm actually very excited to see it.
And we have Richard from Canal Winchester on the line. Richard wants to talk about a movie coming up as a part of the summer movie season. It's coming up in June. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, I just wanted to know if anybody has seen or heard anything on Prometheus, which is supposed to be a prequel to Alien.
Oh, and that comes out June 8th, according to the list I have. And I know both of our critics here are looking forward to that one. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're expecting, Hope?
I'm very hopeful. You know, it's really a return to sort of, Ridley Scott's early career, or at least I think that's what all of us geeks are hoping that it will be. It isn't officially an Alien prequel, although, he's been clear that there are sort of hints about that in there. But it's a big outer space movie with a big, it's got a great cast. Michael Fassbender, Charlize Theron, Noomi Rapace, who is the original girl with the dragon tattoo. So I'm excited to see her do something. But it just, it makes you think of his early great films. And I'm just incredibly excited to see it.
And Melissa, are you looking forward to it too?
Absolutely. Yes, Michael Fassbender is one of those actors I can watch in pretty much anything at this point. Mm-hmm. You can see even in the trailers there's a little bit of production design details that you're like, I'm sorry, but that's straight out of Alien.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be interesting to see him return to it, especially after so many different directors have had a pass at similar material. Like, he did the first one, but then James Cameron did Aliens, David Fincher did Alien 3, and Jean-Pierre Jeunet did the fourth one. So,
They met Predator.
Oh, God, and all bets were off then.
All right. Well, Richard, are you looking forward to that film?
I am so looking forward to that film. It's about the only movie I will definitely see this year.
All right. Well, then mark June 8th on your calendar. Thanks, Richard. And we'll go back to the Hunger Games for just a moment because Susanna has a question. Susanna, what's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I know there's been a lot of talk if the Hunger Games is appropriate for younger viewers. But my mother, for some reason, wants to see it for her birthday, and she's turning 74. And older viewers sometimes have a harder time with suspension of disbelief and dealing with those type of issues. And I was wondering if this might be appropriate for somebody of the older set.
What do you think?
Well, the fact that it's set in a completely different time and a pretty different variation on our own society, yet it also has elements to it that are very familiar
to contemporary society. I mean, if she's into going to see it, then by all means, she should check it out. Now, we did mention that there are some scenes where there's violence that's a little bit glossed over, but at the same time, there is some blood in this film, and so you know, anyone who maybe has a low tolerance for that might want to think about it.
Hope, what do you think?
It was just making me think of, you know, when I used to take my dad to movies when he was in his early 70s. This is definitely a movie I would have taken my dad to. He would have loved this movie.
All right, that's Susanna. Great. Well, good luck with that.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. And there's another movie that is opening, or did it open this weekend, The Snowtown Murders? Or is it?
I think it opens today.
Opens today. Okay. And so let's listen to a scene from the film, and then we will have Hope explain it to us.
You ever shot a gun before? I'm going to pick it up, see how it feels. Feel good? You want to shoot it? Yeah? Shoot it.
No, what?
Shoot the dog. Kill.
Gimme. Gimme. Cuckoo. Gimme. Cuckoo. Huh?
Shoot the dog.
No.
No? Why not? You want to do something about this? Shoot the dog.
All right. So, Hope, I hope he didn't shoot the dog, but I don't know whether he did or not. You don't have to give it away. So, The Snowtown Murders. Tell us about this.
Well, I don't know if you could tell from the trailer there. It's Australian.
Yes.
It's actually a true crime story about John Bunting, the most prolific serial killer in the history of Australia. And he killed 11 people in the 90s. And what the film reminded me of quite often was an Australian movie that came out last year that I just loved called Animal Kingdom, or may have come out 2 years ago. Just very naturalistic, just sort of this very lived-in world of poverty, a family, kind of functional disregard for crime. But so much more disturbing in that, you know, Animal Kingdom was about bank robbers, and this is about a serial killer. And really, what it's more about, you only see his crimes are heinous and brutal to a degree that's really hard to fathom, but you only see it happen once, which makes it that much more spooky. His focus, the director's focus, is on complicity, on how this just charming sort of schlub of a guy wanders into this area of incredible poverty and just through sheer charisma sort of tells these people what they want to hear and then does it, you know, talks about pedophiles and what he's going to do to a pedophile and gets them all rabble-roused up. But, of course, none of them ever think it's going to happen. And then he does literally exactly what he just said, which is grotesque, you know, sort of beyond reason. The film works as well as it does because it's really, it's very understated. But Daniel Henshall is the man who plays John Bunting, and he's absolutely phenomenal. He's just so authentic. He's so unsettlingly likable. Just this round, happy face and, you know, a good dad kind of, that's what he's proposing that he is. And that's exactly what I think the film focuses on, this desperate need in this community for a strong male. Just, you know, a good guy, a guy who's going to make dinner, a guy who's going to ask the kids about school. You know, all of the boys want that. All of the women want that. All of the other men are looking for a man with that capacity. And that's why it is so horrifying and terrifying that what he turns out to be, and also why they are so complicit. You know, he's not killing strangers. He's thinning their herd, and in the most remarkable, horrifying way. And they let it happen. And in most cases, they help out.
And in that scene we played, he's befriending a teenager, right? But the teenager seems skeptical of him.
It actually very similar again to Animal Kingdom. It's sort of a quiet, you know, introverted, wayward teenage boy who, again, is just desperate for a father figure. And this man is dating his mother right now. And so this boy just wants him to be the dad in the worst way. And it's not a big spoiler, but it's probably important to know if you're kicking around the idea. He kills the dog. Yeah, but he goes on to do a lot worse. Okay. So if you know you don't want to see him kill the dog, you probably don't want to see this movie.
So The Snowtown Murders, and you really liked it. You gave it 4 stars.
I did. I just think, you know, it's an incredibly well-made film. It's not exploitative in any way, and it's monumentally disturbing.
And probably limited theaters.
It's playing at the Gateway.
Okay.
Just in their Nightmares on High, which would really only give it a week's run, but very often if it's a film that's popular, then they extend the stay.
All right, so The Snowtown Murders is a recommendation from Hope. And this is All Sides Weekend. I'm Amy Jurevich, and we'll have a few more movies to discuss coming soon and also preview the summer movie season in just a moment. This is 89.7 NPR News.
On the next Fresh Air, we listen back to our interview with Earl Scruggs. He died Wednesday at the age of 88. He developed his famous three-finger style while absentmindedly playing the banjo one day.
When I realized what I was doing, I was playing the way that I play now. It was like having a dream and wake up just actually playing the tune.
Join us.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the State Auto Insurance Companies, providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
Christopher Moore isn't much of a painter, and his French is, well...
I speak Tarzan French. It's embarrassing. The only time I was actually a true Buddhist was when I was in Paris, because everything was in the present tense.
So, of course, his new book is all about painters in 19th century France. I'm Scott Simon, Christopher Moore, and Sacre Bleu, the Saturday and Weekend edition from NPR News.
Saturday morning from 8 till 11 on 89.7 NPR News. Your annual support of 89.7 NPR News is our largest source of income. Visit wosu.org/renew, call 1-866-897-9678, or respond to our mailing. Thank you for renewing your membership.
This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News. And today we're talking about movies. And believe it or not, the summer movie season is just around the corner. We are previewing some of those films as well. Questions about movies out right now or questions about movies that you would recommend, join the conversation, 614-292-8513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. On our movie panel, we have the other paper film critic, Hope Madden. Thanks again for being here, Hope.
Thanks for having me.
And freelance film critic, Melissa Starker. Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.
And we do have one recommendation I wanted to get to, and this is Richard in Columbus.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to recommend one of the best films I have ever seen in my life. It is called The Reader, which I discovered quite by accident on DVD at the library. It takes place in post-World War II Germany until the 90s. Has Kate Winslet in it, an excellent. I think the male lead is Ralph Fiennes. You may know about it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that recommendation. And yes, The Reader, I believe it was nominated for an Oscar.
It's the film that finally won Kate Winslet her Oscar.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. That maybe 2 years ago. Was that right? Or is it
two
a year?
Or three?
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So The Reader, that's something out on DVD that people could see, but I'm going to take the segue. I'm going to take the Kate Winslet segue, and I'm going to go to Titanic. So Titanic is coming out next week in 3D. What do we think about bringing this movie back? Do you think it'll do well, Melissa?
I do think it'll do well. It's just there's something that's that kind of bothering me about it, in that one of the things that's kind of cool about James Cameron is that he is one of those filmmakers that can do amazing things with 3D. It's like, think what you want of the story of Avatar. The visuals and the 3D technology and how it's used is tremendous. It looks amazing. And so the idea of him retrofitting one of his films in 3D, it just kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I mean, it also may have something to do with the fact that I'm not the biggest fan of the film. I mean, you know, I know there are people out there that love it, and it's just I'm not one of them. So
What do you think, Hope?
Yeah, I'm definitely. I'm not a fan of Titanic.
Are you intrigued though to see it in 3D? Maybe
I'm
just to see what
not
he does.
To see it in 3D. Okay. I cannot imagine sitting through three more hours of that. Just to have, you know,
Don't you want to hear My Heart Will Go On one more time?
Oh, God. But, you know, I'm curious about whether it does do well because when they brought out The Phantom Menace in 3D, I was, you know, dismayed again because I didn't want to have to see that film again. But I just thought to myself, like, you know, it's just such a opportunistic thing to do. And I was curious as to whether people would want to go, and they didn't. People didn't go see, you know, Star Wars Episode One in 3D. It really didn't make very much money. And so I'm just curious to see whether this one can make money in 3D or hopefully not, and they'll just stop it.
Do you think they'll just have it out for a couple weeks and
that's usually how they do it with this. And again, unless it does, you know, such bang up business that they decide to hold it on for longer. But yeah, usually these are like a 2 week limited run.
All right. So Titanic 3D coming in just a few days.
Yep.
And Hope and Melissa say beware. Okay. A movie that is coming soon. That I know that you wanted to talk about, Cabin in the Woods. It's due out on Friday the 13th. And who wants to tell us what this is about?
It's one of those movies that you really don't want to tell people very much about at all. You want them to go in.
Oh, that works well for our show.
So just setting that up. Yes. Yeah, so you want to go in as cold as possible. But all I'll say is that it's, you know, you've seen movies, horror movies, where a bunch of kids get together. They go to a cabin that's in the woods, you know, in some remote place. And, you know, bad things happen to them. And this is another one of those movies, but it's not really like any other of those movies out there. It is aware of those, and the reference to that genre definitely takes place in the film, but it's a lot more clever. It's very rewarding to that kind of audience. If you know that genre really well, then this movie is for you. If you kind of know that genre, but it's not really ever done much for you because it's not that original, then again, this will work for you. And it's so funny because
you're doing a good job dancing around.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm trying to. And it's so funny because it premiered at South by Southwest maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and I was on Twitter the night that it premiered, and of course I follow some critics, and I also know some people that were down there. My Twitter feed exploded when this movie screened. People were going crazy, and I have to say, I mean, obviously they were limited to 140 characters, but they also did a very nice job of not saying what it was about it that they were so excited about. So all I'll say is, yes, you should definitely, if you're into this kind of movie at all, you should go see it.
And Hope is nodding. She agrees.
I agree 100%. I cannot remember the last time I had so much fun watching a horror movie. I watch all horror movies. I'm a huge fan of the genre, but this one was just, I was giddy. It was so fun. It was so clever. You know, and it really mines the Cabin in the Woods type of horror film, but that's not all it does. I mean, it really, you know, it embraces it all, and in a very loving and fun, generous kind of a way that, yeah, if you're a fan of horror films, I think you're going to really enjoy it. It is a horror film, so, you know, it's not a spoof. Don't go in thinking but it's funny and incredibly clever, but it's definitely a horror film.
Okay, and is this another Nightmare on High, or is it wide release?
It's wide release.
It's wide release. Okay, so that's called Cabin in the Woods. And Hope, another movie that is coming out very shortly that you wanted to recommend, Touchback. Can you tell us about that?
It's, you know, it's a football movie. It's a real sentimental, nostalgic. It's a sweet movie. It's very pretty. It was shot in Coshocton as well as Michigan, but I think the reason that it's most interesting is it's the first film ever to have shot a scene in Ohio Stadium during a football game, which, you know, I have to say I knew that going into it and really waited. I waited and waited and waited to see it happen. You know, and it's a nice payoff. It's very interesting. It's a sweet film. The writer director is an OSU grad. It's not a local film. I mean, it's a national film. It's an independent movie, but it's very pretty to look at. People like football movies. It's a football movie, and I just think that there's going to be a built-in appeal to seeing, you know, inside the horseshoe with all of us there. It was kind of fun.
Okay, so that is the touchback, and that also opens on Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. but no scary element to that one. Just
None,
happens to
not
be
a
Friday
one.
The
13th.
Just someone who's cast as a high schooler who does not look like they're in high school at all.
No, yeah.
Okay, so that's April 13th. And then let's talk a little bit about what's coming up. The summer movie season always starts a little earlier and earlier every year. So this time summer begins on May 4th, right, with The Avengers. Mm-hmm. Is that the first big movie to... that is declared a part of that summer movie season?
I think so. I think that's going to be the big giant kickoff.
Okay. And so tell us about The Avengers.
Well, basically, it's sort of a culmination of all of these other superhero movies in which there have been little bits and pieces of information in, like, Spider-Man and Iron Man and not Spider-Man, sorry, Iron Man and Thor, Captain America, referring to Nick from Fury.
Yeah, Nick Fury.
Nick Fury, that's it. And so it's going to be a superhero smorgasbord, basically.
I think, you know, for the longest time, I really didn't have much interest in it because I thought this, I mean, a lot of times I think of superhero movies, the franchises, they get weaker with every sequel because they throw in too many villains. Mm-hmm. And this is like the opposite. There's too many heroes in this one. But Joss Whedon is directing. And
right.
that, to me, means it's going to have a weird sense of humor and probably an emotional core. Given that, I actually have an interest, not as much as my son does. He cannot wait for this movie to come out, but I'm pretty excited to see it.
And Mark Ruffalo playing the Hulk. You got to love
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens. I have one thing that says May 8th and another thing that says May 4th.
I have May 4th.
May 4th. Yeah. Whichever one's the Friday. I probably just looked at the wrong date. So May 4th, The Avengers. And we did have, we got a message from a listener who wants to know if you're both excited about The Dark Knight Rises. That's very highly anticipated, the next Batman movie.
I think everybody is excited about, yeah. I don't think there's any moviegoer in the world who's not excited about that one.
That comes out late in mm-hmm. July, mm-hmm. July 20th. So any expectations for it? Too many villains? I don't know.
Well, you know, Tom Hardy, I'm really excited.
Yes.
I mean, usually I would probably be excited about Catwoman because I am a Catwoman fan as a general rule, but I love Tom Hardy and he's unhinged, like in Bronson. So I'm excited to see him play a super villain. That should be very much fun.
What about Anne Hathaway being Catwoman, though? What do you...
I'm just scared because movies have not done right by Catwoman. Michelle Pfeiffer and Halle Berry. I mean, Michelle Pfeiffer is a little bit better, but yeah, they just Hollywood doesn't really seem to know what to do with women superheroes.
No, and Julie Newmar was so awesome.
Oh yeah,
she's 6 feet tall. She was kind of my hero from the time I was six feet tall, fifth grader. But Julie Newmar is the best Catwoman ever. But you know, Anne Hathaway is certainly a very capable performer, so I'm excited to see what she does with it. But I'm mostly in it for Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
All right, so The Dark Knight Rises coming in mid-July. And we have a question from Chris, and he wants to know if there's any word on the movie W.E., directed by Madonna, about King Edward and Mrs. Simpson.
Actually, I have seen it on some lists. It's supposed to play in Columbus in the late spring, early summer.
Right.
Is this something that was limited release?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so it just hasn't made it here yet?
Yes.
Yes. And it might not even make it in some markets. I think Columbus is going to get lucky. I was actually looking at the DVD list for this week, and Angelina Jolie's directorial debut, I should say WWE was directed by Madonna. Angelina Jolie's directorial debut did not make it to theaters in Columbus and is actually going straight to DVD. But if you wanted to see it, it's out this week.
Okay. And what was that movie? I'm sorry,
it's called,
I forgot the name.
In the Land of Blood and Honey.
Okay. So that's Angelina Jolie's debut.
Yeah. I think that really had smaller potential for an audience. It's
right.
a very, very difficult subject matter. So I think that might be one of the reasons.
Mm-hmm. One other movie that's coming soon that just I'm intrigued by the title. Melissa, you had it on your list. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
I finally saw the trailer for that this week, and basically it suggests that, you know, the history that we know is only ever part of the story, and the part of the story that we don't know about Abraham Lincoln is that he was a kick-butt vampire hunter.
And I mean, how can you say no to that?
Oh, I know.
What more is there to say, really? When does that come out?
That is, I believe, mid-June.
Yeah, it's fairly early summer.
Yeah.
Does that have a big popular cast or anything? Who plays Abraham Lincoln?
Actually, it wasn't anyone that I recognized.
No, you know, originally, weirdly enough, it was supposed to be Tom Hardy, and he pulled out to be in Batman, and nobody can really blame him. But yeah, I think they replaced him with really not much of a name.
Yeah.
But it's based on a really very sort of fun and popular novel that they had a couple of years ago. A lot of, like, there was one, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, and just, you know, a bunch of sort of silly books that came out that sort of, you know, insinuated monsters into stories we already knew. And that was a fun one. I read that on a plane, and it's a fun book, and I'm excited to see that movie, too.
All right. Well, excellent title, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, so coming this summer. And I have no appropriate segue, but I wanted to talk about something that's coming out this weekend. It's the 70th anniversary box set for Casablanca, and just for fun, because we can, let's listen to one of the many classic scenes.
When I said I would never leave you.
And you never will. But I've got a job to do, too. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilse, I'm no good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday you'll understand that. No. He's looking at you, kid.
Doesn't get much better than that, right? So 70th anniversary box set. And Melissa, why would you say someone needs to own this?
I was going to say, I don't think there's ever an inappropriate time to bring up Casablanca, so I think your segue was just aces. It's one of those litmus test movies. If you consider yourself a fan of movies, you really need to see it, because between the incredible story of how it was made, it was written on the fly, the original, Ronald Reagan was originally supposed to star in it, and it was a B movie. It wasn't something they had a lot of expectations for, to becoming this Oscar winning, just extraordinarily written and compelling, basically the ultimate Hollywood movie. So if you haven't seen it, I guess I'm saying that you really should. And then as far as the box set goes, it's kind of a bells and whistles 70th anniversary edition, where they try to recreate the experience of actually seeing it in the theater. So you have the feature, but you also have vintage trailers and newsreels beforehand. They put a couple of Warner Brothers cartoons on there as well. And in addition to that, in the box set, there's like several feature-length documentaries. There's a couple of different commentary tracks, including one by Roger Ebert. So it really, they pulled out all the stops.
So this is something for every fan, and it is new this weekend. So Casablanca, the 70th anniversary box set. We're down to about the last 2 minutes, so we can do 1 minute each to talk about something that's coming up soon that you think that people should consider seeing. Hope, what is something else on your list?
Dark Shadows.
I'm
eager to see Dark Shadows. I was a little sad when I first saw the image of Johnny Depp, because I wanted to, like my mom, have a crush on Barnabas Collins, and instead he gave me Eddie Munster. I don't know why Tim Burton insists on making Johnny Depp look ugly in all of his movies, and I'm against it, but I'm still really excited about this. They turned it into a comedy, a very swinging 70s sort of a comedy. I love the cast. And it's funny to me how many of the other cast members have played either a vampire or a witch in previous films. Nearly everyone, which is a bonus to me. So this is the one I'm most looking forward to in the really immediate future.
Dark Shadows, Friday, May 11th. And Melissa, what do you think? What's something people should see?
Actually, if I could do for this weekend, just a couple more options. If you did not see the Oscar winner for Best Foreign Language Film, A Separation, it's an Iranian film. It is extraordinary. It's 2 hours where you're just sucked in, and just amazing characters, very easily relatable, even though it's a different culture. And also this weekend, another Iranian film at the Wexner Center, a documentary called This Is Not a Film. And it's all about a director who's under house arrest right now. And he basically made the film in his house, and it's getting amazing reviews. And that's at the Wexner Center tonight and tomorrow.
All right. So A Separation and is playing at the Drexel,
right.
And
this is not a film.
At the Wexner. Great. Mm-hmm. And thanks to everyone for listening. This has been All Sides Weekend. Thank you to Hope Madden, the other paper film critic. Thanks, Hope.
Sure.
And also thanks to freelance film critic Melissa Starker. Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
And thanks to Sal Pishneri, our director today, and All Sides interns Katie Higgins and Corinne Gleckler. This is WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus. Streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.